So we see in Deuteronomy 31 one of three occasions when Moses or Joshua hears this thought: be courageous, fear not, I am with thee, I will never forsake thee. And twice he hears it from Moses and once from the Lord in Joshua chapter 1. God felt the need to repeat this to encourage Joshua, encouragement. So I think the rest of the time, if we may move on, unless there's more that we want to say about Deuteronomy 31, but I think there's much to say about Joshua 5. In Joshua 5, we're at the point where they have crossed over the Jordan, and there's much in there, and how they were led, the ark was carried, and so forth. There's many lessons in all that. And now they're in the land where there's enemies all around, but it's the land God had promised. And we have in Joshua 5 the first thing. It's almost a reminder of Joshua's first battle against Amalek. Remember Amalek, the flesh? And here they are now in the land and vulnerable to attacks, naturally speaking. And what does Joshua do? He makes them even more vulnerable, and he is obedient to the Lord by having circumcision. And notice it says, and Joshua circumcised them in chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 3. This is something that the Lord does for us. He circumcises us. He separates us. He makes us fit for service. And Joshua knew that the people, in order to obtain the inheritance, they had to have that mark of separation, that mark that identified them as the people of God. And that mark goes way back, goes back to the days of Abraham, and it's carried forward to this very moment. What a wonderful lesson as he continued on. He didn't neglect the things that God had intended even centuries before, but he followed the command of the Lord and did that. So more can be said.
At the beginning of Moses' journey to lead the people, Moses recognized, or God imposed on Moses' mind, the need for circumcision. Here at the end of his journey, he would call the people to consider, which nation is like unto you, O people saved by Jehovah? And he does that, bringing to their minds that God is in the midst of them. God led them through the wilderness. And my question is there a thought as to why we think Moses did not circumcise these children in the plains of Moab before he left the scene, before they journey over the Jordan? The difference, they were there with him. Why were they not circumcised? Joshua will do that, and we're learning as to the reasons of Gilgal with Joshua. But are there any thoughts on that?
Well, from a practical point of view, it was neglect. But keep in mind that the generation that left Egypt was probably circumcised, that generation. It's the new generation that they failed to obey.
I wonder if this doesn't help us to appreciate the transition that has occurred here. There was Moses, as we said, a type of Christ, the inaugurator of things, the apostle who sets out features of Christ. But we have to realize that a type is a type is a type. Every type falls short. You've got to see that in the fact that Moses came short of what you just said. Doesn't measure up fully, because that's a type. The antitype is the perfect setting of things. So it requires another man. It requires Joshua to bring us into the blessed features of the new man, as seen in Christ. Another man who takes up the leadership as in Joshua, and brings us totally out of the wilderness setting. We are now in the land. We're no longer perched in the plains of Moab. We're now in the land. And the first thing that you encounter in the land is a new and different type of conflict. It's not the same conflict that was in the wilderness. We're now at conflict in the land. We've got a certain type of a character that must take place in the land. And there's going to be a certain type of food that is necessary for conflict in the land. And that we'll get around verse 15 or so. The food that is associated with the corn of the land. So the type falls short, as in Moses. And the reality of things is taken up now in Joshua. Another side of the feature, the features of Christ coming out in his spirit as he leads the children into the land and to take possession of the land.
Follow up what you said, the transition. And for us, we are unique people, Christians. And if you look at the book of Acts, Acts is the first 34 years of Christian history. The very people we're talking about, once they were converted, could not stop going to the temple. We find the priests got converted, but guess what they kept on doing? They went to the temple. We find out that they went to the temple and prayed, but they broke bread where? Home. But we find consistent, even Paul went to the temple, they convinced him to give offerings. They had it hard to give up. You got to remember, Israel was a people of the earth, promise of the earth. Their inheritance was the earth. Their blessings would be what? Earthly. We don't have that. I know we get some good comments about outside the camp, but remember where it's written, in what book. Many say the Apostle Paul wrote it, but didn't put his name on it because he's the apostle to what? To the Gentiles, right? So he would not put his name on that book. But he tells them it's all over. Going outside the camp to the Jew in that book means no longer are you going to practice your traditions. There's a transition, like you said, Dave. We have, as Christians, are in that transition. We are in a unique place. We don't have earthly blessings. We don't have earthly promises. As been said, we have heavenly blessings. We're there now, but we walk where? Here in a battle. That's where we are. And that's the book of Ephesians. If you pick it up, how the wall of partition's broken down. Jew and Gentile compose what now? The one body of Christ. Every believer on the earth belongs to that body. And that's the assembly, by the way. The local expressions belong to those who want to gather that way. But we have to have God's mind, as we've stressed, and the Spirit of God to direct us. He appoints leaders. He gives the gift. Each one of you have a gift. What is your gift? Do you know? Do you? Don't look at me like that. You have a gift, I have a gift. And like you said, Emil, God will mark those gifts out. They will be good to the hearts of the people. They will know, because guess what's in you and I? The Spirit. And the Spirit is in the assembly. He will make it good to our hearts when we hear spiritual food. He'll also make it good to our hearts when we hear unspiritual food. It's all about God, not about us.
Just to get you, tell you why Moses would not circumcise them. And I'll just bring a couple of verses in Colossians chapter 2. I think they answer that very question in a very simple way. Just add to all of the good comments that were already made. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, where ye also are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. That could not be said of Moses. Moses did not go through the Jordan with the people of God. that was only unique to Joshua. Therefore, Moses, just as we have heard, he's a type of the lawgiver, could not bring the people into the land. It takes the one who goes through Jordan and come out, and we will go with him to do that circumcision.